Blog Talk Radio.
Imagine a world without HIV.
Imagine an AIDS-free generation.
Imagine helping to create it.
Imagine.
Imagine.
For more information about the annual Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, visit DesertAidsProject.org, search Facebook for Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, or search for the very powerful hashtag #ImagineNoAIDS.
Imagine.
Imagine.
I am Nicholas Snow, and the voices you've just heard are Barbara Keller, Desert AIDS Project Board Chair and Co-Chair of the organization's signature annual Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, along with Jim Casey, Gala Co-Chair and President CEO of presenting sponsor Integrated Wealth Management. Barbara, Jim, and the entire production team for the February 7th, 2015 event are inspiring the world to imagine no AIDS. If you don't believe me, search Instagram and Twitter for that exact phrase, #ImagineNoAIDS. And on Facebook, search Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards. Coming up next, I'll be previewing this year's event in detail, plus I'll be bringing you some of my favorite red carpet interviews from past galas. In the lineup this episode, Greg Louganis, Melissa Etheridge, Suzanne Summers, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Lorna Luft, Megan Hilty, and Matthew Morrison of Glee fame. I'll wrap up the show with my own HIV testing, safer sex awareness anthem, The Power to Be Strong. Desert AIDS Project serves people living with HIV and AIDS by providing comprehensive support, including medical care, case management, and social services like food, housing, and counseling. Desert AIDS Project also offers free and confidential HIV testing at a number of locations, and they're one of the champions behind the very important initiative, Get Tested Coachella Valley. Of course, for more information, visit DesertAIDSProject.org and GetTestedCoachellaValley.org. And I'll be back after this.
I'm Nicholas Snow, and I'm living powerfully with HIV. I write about this in my memoir, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. The book is dedicated to the tens of millions of people in the world living with HIV, most of whom do not yet know their status, to everyone who fights for us, and to those who still fear us. From Hollywood to Bangkok to Bali and beyond, including Kuala Lumpur and Palm Springs, with profound expansion to Singapore, Mumbai, and throughout all of Asia, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, could easily be titled Eat, Pray, Disclose. Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart is available in paperback and for Kindle at Amazon.com and in paperback at LifePositiveBook.com. Remember, fight for the life and the world of your dreams until you have no life left in this world, for then you will have truly lived.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow at The Nicholas Snow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google Plus. The snowstorm begins now. It's time for Nicholas Snow Live. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, having just drifted into the studio, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this very important episode. As the signature fundraiser for Desert AIDS Project, also known as DAP, The Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards last year raised more than $1.4 million for client services. Desert AIDS Project serves people living with HIV and AIDS by providing comprehensive support, including medical care, case management, and social services like food, housing, and counseling. DAP also offers free and confidential HIV testing at a number of locations throughout the communities it serves. As many of my listeners know, I am a grateful client of Desert AIDS Project, and this episode is being broadcast live from my apartment at the Vista Sunrise Apartments, which is a wonderful community associated with Desert AIDS Project. If you're hearing this podcast before the February 7th, 2015 gala, there's still time to get tickets at desertaidsproject.org, where my good friend and periodic co-host Kristen Johnson and I will be capturing the evening's excitement. As for the honorees, well, the generosity and philanthropy of Helene Galen has helped to sustain many a nonprofit organization in the desert communities, including Desert AIDS Project. Although one of the ways she supported DAP is through her longstanding sponsorship of one of the awards given at the gala, on February 7th, it will be Miss Galen receiving the 100 Women Award for 2015. Her counterpart receiving the 2015 Partners for Life Award will be Dave Morgan, president of Reaction Marketing and Promotions, which created and has produced and presented the increasingly popular Dancing with the Desert Stars event for 4 years. The recently staged fourth annual dancing event raised nearly $65,000 for the 100 Women and Partners for Life annual giving programs at DAP. The 2015 Science and Medicine Award recipient will be Dr. Michael Gottlieb, a physician and immunologist best known for his identification of AIDS as a new disease with the first diagnoses in June 1981. Gottlieb was famously Rock Hudson's doctor following the actor's AIDS diagnosis until his death in 1985, as well as physician to the namesake of the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, which shares with Desert AIDS Project the distinction of being named a top 20 HIV/AIDS charity for both 2013 and 2014. Barbara Keller, who I mentioned, is DAP board chair and co-chair of the organization's signature fundraiser, explains these honorees could not more richly deserve their individual recognition. Jim Casey, gala co-chair, and as I said, president and CEO of presenting sponsor Integrated Wealth Management, added, "We're also beyond delighted to have the hysterically funny Mario Cantone as our MC for the evening, and we might as well add that Broadway sensation Shoshana Bean will be the evening's featured performer." Most people know Mario Cantone from his recurring role in the Sex and the City series and movies, and of course from his regular appearances on The View. Mandy Moore gave all the right moves to Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence in the Oscar-nominated film Silver Linings Playbook. Remember that dance that captured their tortured love story, the one that was equal parts clumsy, romantic, and touching? Mandy will give that same delicate touch to the featured dance sequences at the 21st Annual Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards. The gripping story of a couple living with HIV combines the talents of Scott Allen, whose songs have been sung by Broadway's elite, and the creative direction of Live It Up Productions president Trini Garza and his co-creative director, Brandon Alameda. Trini and Brandon teamed up with Scott to write a very tender story that will be told throughout the evening of the gala. The moves, though, come courtesy of Mandy Moore. She's directed huge production numbers on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. She also created Cirque du Soleil's Michael Jackson, the Immortal World Tour. Mandy both directed and choreographed the movie-come-Broadway musical The Wedding Singer. At the Steve Chase, she will be directing the So You Think You Can Dance All-Stars. All of the work that Mandy, her dancers, and other entertainers, Shoshana Bean, Scott Allen, and the evening's MC, popular comic Mario Cantone, performed for the gala helped create giant in AIDS research, treatment, volunteering, and philanthropy. Moreover, it raises funds needed to provide the comprehensive and compassionate care the Desert AIDS Project offers our friends and neighbors in Riverside County living with HIV and AIDS. Staging a glamorous evening that entertains and informs the Coachella Valley about HIV so they can support those with this harsh and angry disease is an important chapter in the DAP Silver Linings playbook. To learn more about Desert AIDS Project, please call 760-323-2118. Visit Desert AIDS Project, desertaidsproject.org, or find them on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And remember, search Instagram and Twitter for hashtag ImagineNoAIDS. When I come back, I'll have a brief announcement of some other events coming up in Palm Springs, and then I'll be bringing you my favorite red carpet interview from past Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards galas. In the lineup this episode, Greg Louganis, Melissa Etheridge, Suzanne Summers, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Lorna Luft, Megan Hilty, and Matthew Morrison. It's an exciting, action-packed, really important show, highlighting the always poignant, forever important Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revival. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revival. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity.
I want to especially thank my advertisers. Of course, you hear their commercials during the program, but for their contact information and links to their websites, and for information about how to advertise your business, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and look for the advertisers link in the main submenu.
It's time for our event spotlight. Here he is, shining his global media spotlight on the events of the day, Nicholas Snow.
Hello, everybody. The big event I'm spotlighting in this episode is, of course, the February 7th, 2015 Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards. This show is going out live on January 29th, 2015. So you have until February 7th. I think I just said February 7th. February 7th are the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards 2015. This broadcast is going out on January 29th. So there's still time for you to get your tickets. Go to desertaidsproject.org or search Instagram and Twitter for hashtag ImagineNoAIDS or search Facebook for Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards. And you're going to find all the information, especially on Facebook, where there are amazing viral videos featuring movers and shakers and board members and collaborators, maybe even some clients of Desert AIDS Project, talking about how we're collectively imagining a world without AIDS. As a person living with HIV, intellectually I knew this is possible, but because of the efforts of this year's Humanitarian Awards Gala, the Steve Chase, I am feeling and believing and seeing a world without AIDS. But I want to tell you about other events that my show empowers. If you go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click in the event spotlight in the main submenu, you'll always find current events that I'm promoting. And as this show goes live, here are some key events I want you to know about. First of all, you can always find links to important organizations like the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Greater Palm Springs Pride, and the Desert Business Association. There's more information about the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards Gala as well. Coming up on Saturday, March 7th, 2015, the fourth annual Red Dress Dress Red Party, the hottest dance party of the season, is being held to benefit the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, and the party will be held at the coolest place in Palm Springs, Snapshot Palm Springs. That's on Saturday, March 7th, beginning at 8 p.m. Who doesn't love a sassy red dress or a snappy red pantsuit? Whichever suits you, plan on getting all dolled up for the most fun dance party of the season. Proceeds benefit the LGBT Community Center of the Desert. Find your tickets at thecenterps.org. On Saturday, March 14th, 2015, in Palm Springs at the Convention Center, actually in the afternoon, is the LGBTQ Spiritual Summit. Their mission is to create heart-opening events with interactive conversations featuring panels of faith leaders from various denominations and traditions discussing the evolving face of LGBTQ spirituality in cities across the United States and ultimately across the world. This particular summit takes place in Palm Springs on Saturday, March 14th. Find out more at LGBTQSpiritualSummit.org. On March 26th through the 30th, 2015, it's time once again for the American Documentary Film Festival, named one of the world's top 25 film festivals worth the entry fee by Movie Maker Magazine, who also called the festival one of the world's five coolest documentary film festivals. AmDocs is located here in the beautiful resort community of Palm Springs, California. Ideally located 90 minutes east of Hollywood, Film Mecca boasts a favorable viewing audience and a proven track record of supporting independent films. For more information, check out AmericanDocumentaryFilmFestival.com. And everything I just mentioned, and even events I haven't mentioned, are available at NicholasSnowLive.com in the event spotlight section. But now back to the main event, the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards. Producers of the always poignant, forever important awards, which take place in Palm Springs, California each year to benefit the Desert AIDS Project, have the whole community and the people we reach worldwide truly imagining a world without HIV and AIDS by championing hashtag ImagineNoAIDS. If you come across this episode prior to February 7th, 2015, attend this year's gala at the Palm Springs Convention Center. As promised, now I have some of my favorite interviews from a past Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards. This award took place February 9th, 2013, about 2 years ago, and I was on the red carpet with Kristen Johnson, who you will hear participate in some of the interviews. Keep in mind that what we spoke about took place on February 9th, 2013. So, for example, at that time, my first guest was on the red carpet with his fiance, and now they're happily married. I'm talking about celebrity Greg Louganis and his now husband, Johnny Chilo. And that will be followed up with an interview with Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Here is Greg Louganis.
I wanted you to contrast what it was like in the world to be HIV positive when you came out as a positive person, and tell and remind me what year that was, to what it's like today from your perspective when you meet people at events like this.
Well, I was diagnosed in 1988, and there wasn't a whole lot of compassion surrounding HIV/AIDS at that time. I was also still competing and diving, so I kept my HIV status secret because I wouldn't have been able to compete in the 1988 Olympic Games because I wouldn't have been allowed into Seoul, Korea. You know, kids today forget, you know, that we weren't allowed to go into various countries if we were known to have HIV. So we've come a long way. We've got a lot further to go. Treatments, in the 25 years of being HIV positive, I've gone through so many different types of treatments, IL-2, interleukin-2, through the protease inhibitors, you know, which were really miserable. Now the combination therapy that we have available now, it's much more tolerable. So I think it's far more hopeful, which is kind of gives a mixed signal to young people because they think that it's a manageable disease. And I wouldn't wish my HIV drug regimen on anyone. So, you know, if best to avoid becoming HIV positive.
I'm living with HIV, and I've lived outside of the U.S. quite a bit, and I know that you're a role model for people all over the world, not only in the HIV community, but in the LGBT community. And I'm thinking of places that there's a tremendous amount of homophobia, and your life and spirit reach into those countries. And I'm wondering, my listeners are worldwide, what would you say to the people around the world that have been touched by your life, and to give them strength and hope as they deal with these issues in not so friendly places?
Well, you know, we were just in Nepal over this fall as ambassadors to the first LGBT sports festival in South Asia, and it was a tremendous event, you know, to, you know, shed some light on diversity, and it was interesting because we went to the AIDS hospice, you know, which was incredible. But, I mean, it's like stepping back in time because, you know, we had to be escorted there. Nobody knew where the facility was for the protection of the people who went there. And it was just, you know, so amazing. I mean, almost third world. Well, it was third world. It was really incredible. And also, you know, the thought and idea, because they were asking me, you know, because they saw me with my partner and they were saying, okay, who's the husband and who's the wife? And it's like, it depends on the day. But, you know, they just didn't understand, you know, how that kind of works. And so, you know, it was interesting just to be there, be present, and be myself.
And what is your name?
My name is Johnny Chayo. How are you?
Nice to see you. You guys make a handsome couple.
Don't we?
I just had a flashback to Stand Up Spotlight Night, and that really dates me, with Rosie O'Donnell. And all I remember is that she called you out in the audience, and you guys shared the personal trainer, and then she did a hilarious stand-up routine about that. But back then, I don't think Rosie was not out. And can you talk about a little bit about how the world has changed since, I mean, for one thing, she's gotten bigger, and the acceptance of the LGBT community. It's
yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I've been friends with Rosie since she was a VJ at VH1. I went on her show and surprised her, I think back in 88. And so we introduced videos, and we've been friends ever since. So, yeah, things have come a long way. I mean, I remember when my book first came out, she said that, "I'm a little jealous of you. I wish I could do that." You know, and that was back in 95. And then since then, she has come out. And so, you know, the world is changing, and it's progressing, and we're moving forward. And I don't think there's any stepping backwards. I think we're going to continue moving forward.
And that was Greg Louganis. Next up, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who was the master of ceremonies at the February 9th, 2013 Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards Gala.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
You come with a very small microphone. I like that. It's so unobtrusive.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm wondering, you're now a role model for millions of kids, and I'm wondering when you were young, what your first role models were in the LGBT television space. Do you remember?
Well, I really didn't have any. I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I know I look much younger than that, but I really didn't have any. The first one I really remember was, you know, Will and Grace, for me, at least that I was aware of. Maybe there were some more subtle gay characters on TV, but that went right over my head. So I really didn't have, you know, at least a couple on TV that I could look up to. So I'm glad that I can be there for kids now, and that's something that they can maybe look at and be like, okay, one day I can also have a family and be accepted as an equal part of a family, and you know, be considered an equal dad as, you know, any other dad would be. So it's a nice feeling to know that I can give that hope to kids.
Do you feel like Modern Family has really helped forward the consciousness around marriage equality and other related issues?
Well, you know, we try not to be too lofty with it because we are a sitcom, but I do think that we it's definitely a hot topic, you know, marriage equality right now, and I think we have become a pop culture touchstone, and it's something people can reference, and I think that it's a sort of a safe entry for a lot of people in accepting marriage equality. So I think, yes, I think we've done some good in that direction.
And next up in this episode, which I actually did not announce at the top of the show because I forgot that I had this interview to add, I spoke with Lucy Arnaz, the daughter, of course, of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, and Lucy Arnaz's husband, Larry Luckinbill, at the February 9th, 2013 Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards Gala.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you. How are you?
You look fabulous.
Oh, thanks very much. Thank
you.
So
you've been supportive of HIV/AIDS for a long time, and I'm wondering, how are things the same and how have they changed from your perspective in terms of the fight against HIV/AIDS?
Well, I was just telling the lady before you that, you know, now, thank God, we're dealing with people who are living with AIDS much more than trying to save people from dying of it. I don't have any friends in the hospital dying anymore. I lost 33 close friends, actually, during the years when it was at its worst. We both did. And now we're raising money for a cure, a final cure, and mostly to help people who have it and have to continue living and don't have places to live or have lost their jobs. I have a couple of very close friends who were at the top of their, you know, careers when this happened, and they couldn't do what they did before, and they had to learn to do something else. Not everybody's as fortunate as they are to have someone help them move into another direction. So there's all kinds of reasons to continue worrying about people with AIDS.
On a related topic, what do both of you feel about sort of the evolution of the self-dismantling of the Hollywood closet, people coming out in the entertainment industry?
You answer that since you started in Boys in the Band and was the beginning of having that happen.
Yeah, I was at the beginning of it. I think it's great, of course, and it still wrecks lives. I meet young men who came out because of my role in Boys in the Band. And they are the last week and last month, and they are afraid to tell their parents, they're afraid to tell their boss. And if they come out, they are afraid that they're going to be worse off than they are, you know, in a closet. And I think that that's something that's got to be gotten over. It's just like the AIDS thing, the worst thing to get over now is that everybody thinks it's over, you know. And it's the same with the gay situation. It's not over. Just like racism isn't over.
Certainly. You know, a risk group for HIV exposure are actually senior citizens that have lost a partner and are out having sex, and they never even knew about safer sex. So
I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah. So I've been asking other people to speak to kids, but why don't you speak to your sort of peers about remember to have safe sex?
Yeah, yes, Dad. Thank you. I've got five kids. I mean, we both do. And four boys and one girl. And we've gone through a lot of, you know, oh my gods, you know, throughout the years. But right now I think that our family seems to get the point and kind of what you can do, you know, unless you're much more active and you sing very well.
It's still hard though. I mean, I'm always, my heart feels better when I know that our kids are in a long-term relationship. I don't enjoy the fact that my daughter or my sons are out there just dating around. It's still very scary, you know, it's very scary.
I didn't have the opportunity to meet your mom, but I was about this close to her at the 1988 Academy Awards.
Mm.
And, you know, she's still as big as ever. You know, everyone still loves Lucy. It must be great to come to have, you know, Lucy as your mom.
It's just nice to be associated with people who are always happy when they come up to you to say something to you. That's a really cool thing. You know, people come up to you and they have a smile on their face already before they say anything to you because they're about to say how much they love the show, and they get this kind of, you know, and it's great. It's better than a cop going, pull over, you know.
I'm a client of the Desert AIDS Project, so I really appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Well, we appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Next up, from the February 9th, 2013 Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, I have Suzanne Summers, and you'll be surprised why, for a time, she stopped using backup singers.
Do you remember when you first heard about AIDS?
Yes. I was a nightclub performer in Vegas for 25 years, and my dancers started dying. And at such an alarming rate that 10 years into it, I would get so attached to my dancers. They were my family. We traveled. We did 35 weeks a year on the road. And I finally said to my husband, I can't have backup dancers anymore. It's so painful to watch this happening. And then they started finding the drugs that seemed to not cure it, but keep it at bay.
You've supported many different organizations, but being a local here in Palm Springs, you're very supportive of the DAP. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, how is DAP different from other organizations that you can tell?
The support. We actually went to have blood tests over at the center the other day, and it's just awesome what you all have done here. And there's nothing morose about it. It's uplifting. It's state of the art. It's they're there to help. I think that this is an incredible community.
And speak to my final question. Speak to the shift that's occurring around the acceptance of the LGBT community.
Isn't that nice? It's about time, isn't it? You know, my father's brother was gay, and it was at a time when no one came out, and he was so ostracized by the family at that time that he moved to France to get away. And you know, he really made something of himself over there. He became a doctor, and I always thought about this uncle that I never got to know over there that was ostracized by the family. So thank God it's turned around, and thank God that people have smartened up. It was such an ignorant take.
Well, I'm a client of the DAP, so I really appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Help. And next up, I spoke with, on February 9, 2013, Megan Hilty, who at the time was a national TV star in the TV show.
Hi, Megan. Congratulations on the smash that smash is.
Oh, thank you.
In the Broadway community, there's a high level of
Actually, as you just heard, it wasn't Glee. It was Smash. She was in the Smash. Smash. I just had to stop and correct that error, and we'll start that interview again.
Hi, Megan. Congratulations on the Smash that Smash is.
Oh, thank you.
In the Broadway community, there's a high level of enlightenment about HIV/AIDS and LGBT issues, but in the mainstream audience that your TV show reaches, that's not the case. And I'm wondering if you realized how powerful Smash is in terms of its portrayals of LGBT characters as incidental. I mean, that's who they are.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's something really great that season one did, was introduce gay couples as just the norm. Didn't make a big deal out of it. It was just, this is just another couple, you know, dealing with the same issues. It's not something that's, you know, wildly different, you know. So I think it's really great to introduce that to all of America just easily and not making a huge deal about it.
When you were young, do you remember how you learned about HIV and safe sex? And was it in school? And what would you say to other kids today about that topic?
Yeah, well, I learned a little bit through school, but Planned Parenthood helped me a lot to learn independently about HIV/AIDS. And I grew up in Seattle, and where the AIDS walk there was a huge, still is a huge event. So I volunteered a lot with them, and it became something that was very important to me to be a part of at a very early age.
And coming up next, I have three interviews. I'm going to play them in a row without coming back on the air between them. But what's interesting about these particular interviews is that after I speak to the celebrities on the red carpet, then I cut to the inside of the Palm Springs Convention Center so you can hear a little bit about what actually goes on inside the awards program itself. Actually, if you'll bear with me a moment, I've lost connection to my studio, so I'll need to bring up my studio again, my online studio, so I can actually start playing those particular interviews. But while I'm doing that, I just want to remind you that the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards Gala, or an annual event, generally in February. This year, the producers of the gala are truly inspiring the world with the hashtag ImagineNoAIDS. As a grateful client of Desert AIDS Project, I couldn't be more excited about the work that they do for so many reasons, not the least of which they're saving my life. But intellectually, I of course knew that it was possible to have a world without AIDS, and my own activism and my frontline involvement in the fight against HIV/AIDS, I certainly champion this message consistently. But the way that the producers have come together to produce this year's award show with the hashtag ImagineNoAIDS has been so powerful, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'm not only imagining a world without AIDS, I'm seeing it. I'm believing it. It's like, you know, you've been on this extremely long journey, and you've been longing to get to your destination, and you're never quite sure that it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you realize, oh my goodness, you're going to get there. You're going to actually make it through, and there's a joyful celebration ahead. How astounding is that, really? You know, I have the opportunity to go to the event every year with Kristen Johnson, and she's really quite a spectacular friend, and we really enjoy our time on the red carpet. So the three remaining interviews that I want to play for you, and once again, I'm still having a technical difficulty, so it's a good thing I can talk extemporaneously about Desert AIDS Project while I'm trying to resolve the connectivity issue. But Kristen and I really love to attend the event. It's a spectacular opportunity for us as journalists, for me as a client. But it's something that brings together community, people from all walks of life, and people fly in for the event, and they drive in from L.A., or if they winter in Palm Springs, that this is one of the highlights of their social season. And the three remaining interviews I'm going to play for you are going to include interviews that took place on the red carpet itself, and then you're going to hear excerpts from performances in two cases. So I'll have an interview with Melissa Etheridge, and she gives a fascinating interview about raising kids, basically of different generations, and how she talks about safer sex with them. And then I have an interview with Matthew Morrison, who everyone knows from the hit television show Glee. And then after that, I have not only a fascinating red carpet interview with Lorna Luft, I also have her amazing acceptance speech, because Lorna was one of the honorees inside the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards 2013. So that's what we have coming up next, and I'll pop in after all three of those interviews with some final remarks. But next up, I have Matthew Morrison.
Right, I'm here. Great, thank you. I'm a client of the Desert AIDS Project, in addition to being a journalist, so
okay.
I'm really appreciative of you being
cool.
here.
Very cool.
You're known to millions of people around the world, kids, and I'm wondering what you would say to them about safer sex and the reality of HIV.
Well, I think, you know, it's fortunate that we're in a time in our lives where we're getting closer, I feel like, to finding a cure. I mean, you know, people can live with HIV now, and I think that's really amazing. But the fact is, it's such a horrible disease, and I think that safe sex is so important in gay relationships, in heterosexual relationships. I think it's just... you know, it's very important to practice safe sex and just be careful, because you know you never know, because every person you slept with all that person's partners.
A lot of the people that I've met around the world live in countries where there's intense homophobia, and they look to Glee as an example of what the world can be like. And I'm wondering if when you got into the show, if you realized how important it would be in terms of changing views of the LGBT community.
I absolutely did not. You know, when I first got into the show, it was about singing and dancing and being in high school. And I think Ryan Murphy, the creator of the show, just was very brave in just taking this show about high school singing and dancing and making it important and talking about important issues about being gay in high school, about teen pregnancy. So I think the show was very brave in it being so mainstream, not just kind of following the mainstream thing and just going and running and doing musicals every week, but, you know, talking about some really important issues. So I'm really proud to be a part of such a project like that.
Well, and I'd like to ask, have you personally been touched by AIDS or HIV?
I have through secondhand. I was really big into the Broadway community for a while. So I know a lot of friends of friends who have passed. I know a few people who are living with HIV. Very, very great, happy lives. But no one personally that I know of has been diagnosed with AIDS. Yeah.
Is there anything you would like to add?
I love Palm Springs. It's quite nice here. Want to retire here.
I love it here. My audience is worldwide, but I love it here too.
Good. Do you live here?
I'm based here. Yeah.
Gotcha. Nice, nice. Very cool.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Yeah, likewise. Nice to meet you guys. No, thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a Hollywood six couple treat. Singer, songwriter, actor, dancer, producer, not to mention Tony, Screen Actors Guild, Emmy, Golden Globe nominee from Glee and Broadway, Mr. Matthew Morrison.
Tonight won't be just any night. Tonight there will be no more.
that was Matthew Morrison. I just wanted to, I did pop back in here after all, because I'm only playing snippets of the songs they sing inside the awards. Once again, my favorite red carpet interviews and these flashbacks are from the February 9th, 2013 Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards Gala. Next up, Melissa Etheridge.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. You were on my show in the 90s in L.A. called Tinseltown's Queer. I met you at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, my God.
And I got you to say, hi, I'm Melissa Etheridge, and you're watching Tinseltown's Queer.
Awesome.
Yeah, so you blew up the closet before a lot of people did. And I'm wondering what inspired you to do it at the time, and do you have any regrets?
Oh no. I always tell people that before I came out I was selling about maybe a million records an album, you know, each time I would release an album, and then after I came out, I sold 6 million records. So I have no regrets professionally, certainly not personally. The reason I came out was because I had no desire to be in the closet professionally, because I was out personally. All my friends, everyone I worked with knew, so there was just no reason to be otherwise, and not a single regret, no sir.
You're also a cancer survivor, and one of the honorees tonight, Annette Block, gave $1 million to the Desert AIDS Project to create the Annette Block Cancer Care Center.
Yes.
And so all of you tonight are just really doing great things. Speak to this great evolution with marriage equality.
Oh, isn't that awesome? I mean, I always believed that soon enough it would all come to a place where people understand that equality, that this great America that we're in, means equality for everyone, not just straight, you know, people, and that even when it challenges religious beliefs, that's the beautiful thing about our democracy and our Constitution, is that it can withstand that it means equality for all. And I think that's what we're seeing opening up and coming true, and I think it's the best thing that's happened to America.
Hi, well, I'm a big fan.
Hi, what's your name?
Kristen, I'm his co-host.
Oh,
and
great.
I wanted to know, could you speak a little bit to the topic of bullying in schools, how prevalent bullying is for gay teens, well, teens in general, kids in general, but mostly for LGBT teens?
Well, I imagine, I mean, it's been a long time since I was a teenager in high school. I imagine it can be difficult, especially if you are considered different. That is the greatest fear, I think, that happens in high school, and your bullying comes out of kids who are afraid in the first place, and so they strike out first. They're afraid they're going to be considered different, or they're afraid of that part of them that they think of as different, and so they're going to strike out. And it actually refers to grown-ups, too. I imagine that this sort of you're different, so I need to hurt you. I need to put you away so that doesn't ever come off on me. So it's the same sort of problem. It's our fear of differences that we as a whole community, as a whole culture, as a whole country, are healing slowly but surely.
How old are your kids now?
I have two teenagers that are 14 and 16, and I have two six-year-old twins.
Tell me about the safer sex conversations with your teenagers. When did they show up? How did they go?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's really interesting, because I have a boy and a girl, so it's completely different discussion with both of them. The boy, it's like, you know, you hit him across the head and go, just, you know, be smart. Don't do that. Well, I wouldn't do that, you know. And the girl, it's, look, this is, you know, your body, or blah, blah, blah. And you just have to, they're both so different, too, just their own personalities, that I had to really have a heart-to-heart with both of them.
Can I get you to say, I'm Melissa Etheridge, and this is Snow Biz Now?
Okay. I'm Melissa Etheridge, and this is Snow Biz Now.
Wow. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Please welcome Grammy, an Academy Award-winning singer, songwriter, and activist, ladies and gentlemen, Melissa Etheridge.
Thank you.
be here with the Desert AIDS Foundation. Thank you for asking me to come on.
I became involved because it's so vital and it's so important and it is needed, and unfortunately it is needed, and hopefully one day we won't have to do a Steve Chase, because hopefully we can one day we can close the doors to DAP, but that is only with the support and the love and the knowledge and the education of not only this community but of this country.
Something that simply most of us could not do. I know
I could not. And Lorna is on her second puppy. It's pretty amazing and pretty beautiful. And then there's the Desert Age Project. David Brinkman and I took Lorna on a tour of the Desert Age Project a few years back. I will never forget that day. Lorna was so struck by the scope of DAP's programs and services. She was struck by the staff, the amazing volunteers, and the sheer number of clients that DAP serves. She, right there, in the halls of DAP, with tears in her eyes, told David she would do whatever she could to raise money and awareness for DAP. She wanted to know what she could do now. Lorna didn't want to waste a second. Like many of us in the room, Lorna lived through the 80s when the AIDS epidemic began. She watched one friend after another die. Die painful, horrible, and lonely deaths. Lorna understands the importance of time when it comes to this disease, so she was ready to roll up her sleeves and do whatever Desert AIDS Project asked, not unlike what she did back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, when few celebrities would gather the courage to get involved in what was called back then the gay disease, Lorna did everything in her power to raise money and awareness for AIDS. When she was asked to sing at hundreds and hundreds of fundraisers with no pay, she sang. And when she was asked to walk in the very first AIDS walk and then numerous AIDS walks after that, she walked. And when she was asked to get her celebrity friends involved, well, she did more than ask her friends. She demanded that they get involved. And that's what she's done with the Desert AIDS Project. When she was asked to sing at the 17th Annual Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, she sang. And when she was asked to sing at not one, but two celebrity doodle events, oh, she sang. And when she was asked to give tours of the Desert AIDS Project, knowing that the tour by Lorna Love would be exciting for many people, she accompanied David Brinkman on tours. I told you, when Lorna is passionate about a cause, she is passionate with every fiber of her being. And folks, she is passionate about the Desert AIDS Project. Lorna, on behalf of everyone in this community, in this beautiful community that we call home, I want to thank you for all that you do. And on a very personal note, I want to thank you for your amazing friendship. I cannot imagine my world without you. You challenge me to be a better person, and I love you with all my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, the 2013 Steve Chase Humanitarian Award for Community Service, Lorna Love.
Are not with us tonight.
when I was told that I was to receive this award, I thought about one man. He was my best friend. His name was Aldo Ciappullo. He was extraordinary. He was the jewelry designer for Cartier. And he was my best friend in New York City. Aldo was generous, he was talented, he was a beautiful human being, and he was kind, and he was my best friend. We started every single morning with a phone call. We had unbelievable dinners, we had great lunches, and we danced our lives away every single night at Studio 54. Aldo taught me about fashion. He taught me about design. He taught me about friendship. And I spent almost every single weekend at his fantastic, fantastic home on Fire Island. And one weekend, I will never forget, we had an extraordinary lightning storm. You know, one of those lightning storms where the lightning comes down and the sky lights up and the thunder rocks the house. And Aldo came into my room and he said, "Darling, you must come out here and see what is going on." I thought I was going out to see a lightning storm. I walked out onto the deck of Aldo's house and I looked next door to his neighbor. His neighbor was wildly dancing around the swimming pool, flailing his arms and miming to My Mother's Live at Carnegie Hall album. Stark naked. Aldo looked at me and said, "Darling, if he knew who was looking at him, he would shit himself." The love bracelet. I said, "Really?" And he said, "I want to give it to you because of our friendship." And I said to him, "I thank you from the bottom of my heart, but I don't want to live with a screwdriver." And he said, "Have you lost your fucking mind?" Because every single solitary person in the world wants the Cartier love bracelet that I designed, and you tell me you don't want to live with a screwdriver. And I said, "That's right." He then designed a one-of-a-kind bracelet for me for my birthday. I have never taken it off in 35 years. Aldo called me one afternoon and he said he was scared. He said he was scared because friends were beginning to die of a disease that none of us knew anything about. I told him, I said, "Don't worry. The medical field and the medical whole world will find out what this is and everything will be fine and everyone will be okay." Aldo was admitted to St. Vincent's Hospital in November of 1983. I was not allowed to go in and see him. I was not allowed to go near him in his room. Aldo died in February of 1984, alone. No one was there to hold his hand. No one was there to tell him not to be scared. And after Aldo died, it was like Niagara Falls. Ace unleashed a fury and a power, and all of us started to lose loved ones and family members at such an astonishing rate that we couldn't cry anymore. And we became numb. I lost a world full of friends. And I said, "I have to do something."
something to help. So when I was asked to sing, I sang. When I was asked to walk, I walked. When I was asked to speak up and speak out, I spoke. When I stood at the casket of my little friend, Brian White, I said, I will stand for you. When I said goodbye to my beautiful and magnificent friend, Tina Chow, I said, I will stand with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you now to stand. Stand with me. Please, stand with me. Stand with me.
Imagine a world without HIV.
Imagine an AIDS-free generation.
Imagine helping to create it.
Imagine.
Imagine.
For more information about the annual Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, visit DesertAIDSProject.org. Search Facebook for Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, or search for the very powerful hashtag, Imagine No AIDS.
Imagine.
Imagine.
I'm Nicholas Snow, and I'm living powerfully with HIV. I write about this in my memoir, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. The book is dedicated to the tens of millions of people in the world living with HIV, most of whom do not yet know their status, to everyone who fights for us, and to those who still fear us. From Hollywood to Bangkok to Bali and beyond, including Kuala Lumpur and Palm Springs, with profound expansion to Singapore, Mumbai, and throughout all of Asia, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, could easily be titled Eat, Pray, Disclose. Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart is available in paperback and for Kindle at Amazon.com and in paperback at LifePositiveBook.com. Remember, fight for the life and the world of your dreams until you have no life left in this world, for then you will have truly lived.
Thank you.
Listening to Nicholas Snow Live, produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow @TheNicholasSnow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google Plus, linked prominently at NicholasSnowLive.com. Where you'll also find the archive of all of our episodes. That's NicholasSnowLive.com. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We're honored by your presence.